Hello, and welcome back to Mentoring with Geraldine and the Red Flag series. So here we're not doing many of the physical examinations. When our client comes to see us, hopefully they have a diagnosis, but we still need to know the red flags for when they come up with other things in clinic with us. And today we're talking about the bone pain, red flag symptoms in bone pain. So let's have a quick overview. We want to know about a history of malignancy, what about weight loss, night sweats, appetite, pain at night, daytime, when is it better, when is it worse, is it progressive, is it persistent? We want to know about any history of trauma. Is there any swelling? What have we done about it so far? Thoracic pain, specifically pain that wakes up the patient, and any history of fever. So it's really not that uncommon a presentation. So, you know, especially in your aging population, people often refer to the pain being in their bones. And I mean, that's really non-specific symptom, isn't it? And there's a range of different diagnoses, which we will go over and consider. We need a detailed description of what the patient understands and what they're saying and what they mean by bone pain. We need to establish that when the patient is talking to you about this, their ideas are, what their concerns are, and what their expectations are for you. You know, what are their goals in coming to see you? So questions we need to ask. Where do you feel the pain? We need that to be really descriptive. So, you know, can you localize it or is it generalized? Can you point to it? Is it over a larger area? What sort of pain is it? You know, is it like fire? Is it, ask them to use those descriptive words. You know, we've got 0 to 10. We can say, you know, it's pain on a 5, but that doesn't really tell us a lot because everybody's 5 is going to be different. All right. We want to know what sort of pain it is and we want some descriptive words to describe it. So, you know, does the pain radiate? Does it go anywhere else? Is it that you've got stomach pain, but in actual fact, you've got a bit of a twinge in your back? What aggravates it and what relieves it? Is there a pattern? Is it worse at night, worse in the morning, better at night, better in the morning, worse when you stand up or sit down, bend over? When are these good and bad times? What have you tried? You know, have you tried non-steroidals? Have you tried paracetamol? Have you tried herbal tinctures? You know, have you tried white willow? What is it that you've tried? And what, if anything, has worked so far? How long have you had it for? When did it start? Was it sudden? Or has this been a slow, insidious thing? Is it continuous or intermittent? Is there any guarding around it as well? So when we say guarding, if you were to press in your tummy, do they push you away or the person pressing in? Is there a history of trauma that we need to be aware of? And is it a specific joint that's affected? And is there any associated heat and swelling with that joint? And is it symmetrical? Is it on both sides of the body? Is it both elbows or just one, for example? And what about associated symptoms? And could those associated symptoms be throwing us off the scent? So, you know, is there nausea, vomiting? Oh, they're sick. You know, it's not bone pain at all. Well, actually, I've had it 2 years. The nausea and vomiting is only recent. They've got fever. Well, actually, it's only pain in my shoulders or I've just got a cold. And what about the swelling of the area? What about weight loss? Pain at night, pain when you shouldn't be expecting it. What medication, what herbs do they take for it? And are they experiencing any mood changes with this pain? So, I mean, people can be very short. You know, they used to be very relaxed and calm. And since the pain is really taking over, they've become much, you know, more short in the way they speak to people and in the way they behave. How is it affecting their quality of life? And is it affecting their work or their hobbies, their school, whatever it is they're doing? Now, when we're taking this history and we ask for these descriptive words, you know, it's often described as dull or sharp, deep-seated, shooting pains, and that would lead you to focus more on neuropathic etiology, wouldn't it? Whereas widespread bone pain may be a physical manifestation of an underlying psychological problem. They might be presenting with whole body pain. Now, Louise Hay also has a good book on the relation to body parts and what's going on. For example, you have a sore throat and you can't speak. What is it you're trying not to say? So totally different way of looking at what's going on if we're looking at the psychological, social, emotional side. A sexual history may be relevant as well. So malignancy, TB, we need to know as well about migrant populations because there are things that are more prevalent in certain groups. So smoking, alcohol, they're both relevant. But as we know with alcohol, it's not just alcohol, is it? It's all the soda drinks as well. Osteoporosis being an option there if they're drinking a lot of soda drinks. So, and sugared drinks. What does the patient think the problem is? What have they Googled? What is their diagnosis? Do we have a diagnosis from someone else, from the doctor? Are we just going with differential diagnosis? They've done the research. Let's ask them what they found. It might be important that the referral happens. I mean, you know, metastatic bone disease is suspected. Malignancies of the bone from previous cancers. Melanomas and gynecological malignancies can cause problems as well. So we have to think outside the square. If you're able to do a physical examination, then by remote, you might be asking them for those descriptive words. You might be asking, you can see through a camera if they've got swelling, what's going on. Can they walk around? We can ask to see their back. But it might be that they need a physical examination and it's off for referral. And are we able to assess their mental state while we're here? What about their mood? There's a number of mood things that we can, you know, not just the DAS-21, but there's all sorts of mood assessments that we can do. Possible causes, fractures or old fractures, primary bone cancer, osteosarcoma perhaps, or metastatic bone disease. Now, vitamin D deficiency, it's quite common and that can lead to osteomalacia. Multiple myeloma is another one, Paget's, osteoporosis and osteoarthritis, hypercalcemia, secondary to hyperparathyroidism. So we've got some things going on there with the thyroid, but these are the not as common. And we do have to remember that these are for referral. Tuberculosis, where are they from? And we can have TB of the bone. Although tuberculosis is making a comeback because of the lack of vaccination, unfortunately, whereas it was only endemic in Pakistan, it's now being found all over the world. So we do have to find out what travel they've done, what groups of people, even if they're stay-at-homes, if they had lots of visitors from overseas. Iatrogenic, so, you know, prednisolone, things like that can cause vertebral fractures. So we do need to be careful of that. Osteomyelitis, and what about prolapsed intervertebral discs? So what's going on in the back again? We've already had the back pain one. Are these related? Frailty, generalized aches and pains. You know, have they got the muscle supporting the bone? You know, are they out walking? Are they out exercising? So investigations and referrals. FBC, UNEs, ESR, calcium phosphate, LFT. You know, they're your obvious ones along with vitamin D if you can get it. For the men, probably a PSA. What about parathyroid hormone, PTH level? So hard to do and needs to be and hard to get. What about, you know, myeloma screens? We need bloods. We'd want to know what the anion gap's doing. Rheumatoid factor. Do they need things like, you know, chest x-ray? What bone x-rays do they need? You know, is there a fracture or is there a fracture risk? Osteoporosis. You know, what about a DEXA scan, so to really assess that bone mineral density. And then, of course, we've got DAS scores, we've got mood scores. So we would want to check tumor markers. Don't really need to be done, so that might be something that you'd want, but probably not. So that's how check that differential diagnosis, ask for those describing words, and really make sure that we've had all the referrals and that that person, if they're not exercising, we get them out and about and get them exercising again. So thank you very much for today, and I look forward to seeing you on the next one.